This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Once again, time for another edition of Thursday Coast with the founder of the largest online progressive community, Marcos Melitzis, and founder of Civics with a Q, and also the host of the ever popular podcast, The Brief. Marcos was with us just last week in Washington, D.C. He stopped by Black Press Day at the National Press Club, and we're glad to recognize him. He's humble, y'all. He didn't want nobody to recognize him, but I did it anyway. overruled him. But it was good to have him there. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for the invitation. And thanks for having me today.
Again, pleasure to have you. So look, man, I'm here in New York. People are already changing the sign at Trump Tower to say Letitia James Tower. I'll be honest, man. I can't stop laughing what's happening to this dude. And I don't know, Marcos. I've said this to you before. I still maintain. We saw the numbers of people, and you walked us through this. People are talking about the undecideds or the uncommitteds for Biden. But there have been even more anti-Trump votes in his primaries. He's been hovering around the 50%, can't even get 60. And I've said this to you before, and I still feel this way. His attraction all his career has been rich, mogul, kind of big man, Trump Tower. When people start pulling back the curtain and seeing the emperor really has no clothes, you don't need but a few more thousand of those people who are affected by that shine rubbing off. And let's be honest, some people who are attracted to him were always attracted to that. Now, not only is this stuff about to be taken away, he said, I don't have any money, y'all. I really don't have any money. So I think the celebrity sheen might be beginning to wear off, and I think that's going to have an effect in November.
Mark, since we've been talking so long about Trump, and that has always been your operating theory about Trump, so we're about to see it tested out, because it sounds like a great theory, and we're about to see it in action. It's absolutely remarkable. He cannot get bonded because the only assets he has are real estate, and bond agencies do not take real estate as collateral. Why? Because the valuation can be inflated. So they really don't know what they have under hands. They don't know. And the very sort of essence of Trump's claims of his $10 billion, that's what he claimed in 2016. Remember, $10 billion. It was his real estate and his brand. And both of them seem to be in the gutter right now. And there doesn't seem to be much in the way of actual money or assets. And quite frankly, he's put himself in his position. Yeah, there's the fraud stuff, but the $80 million plus bond he had to put up on the Jean Carroll case, that had nothing to do with anybody going after him. Nothing with Trump, Biden's Justice Department or his enemies. It was just he cannot keep his mouth freaking shut. And he did it again. He libeled her again last week. So there's going to be another $100 million. judgment going to be hit against him. So he is absolutely, he's broke. He's going to have to sell these properties, and he's going to have to sell them in a distressed state. So he might not even be able to get top dollar from them. Clearly the brand is in the gutter. His poll numbers are stuck in the low to mid 40s. And yeah, Biden's are also in the mid 40s, but Biden has room to grow in the way that Donald Trump does not. Everybody freaking hates Trump. There's a lot of progressives. The progressives were just not, they just haven't come home yet for Biden. They will. And they may be not home for lots of reasons. It could be Palestine. It could be the economy. It could be just contrarianism. It could be like he's old. It could be all sorts of stupid things. But as we get closer to election, already we're seeing an uptick in Biden's numbers. So all five national polls this week have had Biden on top. That wasn't the case 3 weeks ago. So already numbers are ticking up. Why? Because the primaries are over. There was a fantasy, a fiction by a lot of people that we would get somebody that wasn't Donald Trump, that wasn't Joe Biden. And now I think it's setting in. And I've been telling you, Mark, do not take notice of the polls. Don't worry about the polls until after the conventions. Because there are still people out there that don't realize that it's a rematch between Biden and Trump. There are people that don't realize, literally, this is a real thing. People that don't know that Trump is a reason we don't have Roe v. Wade anymore. A lot of people blame Biden because Biden was president. They don't understand how this stuff works. So there's a lot going to happen in the next couple months. And what's not going to happen? Donald Trump having money. He's broke. His party's broke.
Right.
His party committees are broke. His campaign is broke. And when he get any money, it goes to Trump's lawyers. So that ain't going to change.
And I don't know that it helps him. He's been, with his base, he's been playing this martyr role.
Yeah.
But in a minute, that pendulum is going to swing, because if the Supreme Court comes back and says that he's immune from everything, that may not have the effect that he wants it to have. People say, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me this guy can literally do whatever he wants to do and there is no accountability? I think there's another few thousand of people to be like, I'm not feeling that either. How is it he is not responsible for any of his actions whatsoever? And frankly, I think the Biden people need to get out a little bit stronger about the notion the only reason he wants to be president, Trump does, is so he can pardon himself from all of these crimes. That's really what he's running around saying. He wants to be like Kim Jong. He wants to be, saying.
That was an actual video that just went viral. Yeah. When he was president, praising Kim Jong and wishing he could be like him.
There's going to be a bloodbath, all types of irresponsibility. And fortunately, some people who've always cast some of these pundits, especially with the mainstream, can be middle of the road. But even some of them are now saying, you don't want a guy in office with that kind of debt, because he's going to get other countries to pay that debt for him. I think the only reason, Putin's probably trying to figure out a way to launder it through something so it won't look like him. His friends can't give it to him. If I'm a billionaire and Trump says I need a half a billion, Trump, if I give you half a billion and I'm a billionaire, I'm not a billionaire anymore if I give you half a billion. Because you got to have two halves of a billion to be a billionaire. If I give you half my bill, you need a half a billion. I'm not giving you half a billion because then I'm not a billionaire. We all go down.
Yeah, that's not how it works. And you know what? Trump has never been a generous person too.
Right.
There are people who are generous, and then he'd have friends. Trump doesn't have friends. People who would say, oh yeah, you helped me out when I had no time in need. Oh, no, there's
no,
none of that exists. None of that.
Yeah, no goodwill built. And people have it. Can I get some? No, I'm not helping you. Now he needs help. And so it's really a travesty. But to be clear, the numbers or the percentages, maybe not the actual numbers, that's a lot to have in a memory bank. The percentages of people who voted uncommitted for Biden, weren't those numbers still less than the people who didn't vote for Trump and voted against Trump in the Republican primaries?
No, not even close. It's not even close. It's dramatically higher. For sure.
Yeah.
And so the electoral warning signs are glaring. In Florida, over 20% of people voted not Trump. And a significant chunk of those, per the exit poll, and I can't remember the exact number, but it was some, I think it the math came out to about 75,000 people in that Republican primary were saying that they would not vote for Trump in the general election. Now, I keep saying this, a lot of those people will actually vote for Trump in a general election. People come home. They may be angry in the primary. A lot of people said that about Bernie Sanders, right? Bernie Sanders supporters, I'm not voting for Joe Biden. And then they did. So I don't want to, but you only need a tiny percentage of those people to not turn out and vote in all these states, all these Haley supporters. And it's a completely different ballgame. The math is that this is a 52-48 Democratic-Republican country. That means that just a few Democrats stay home, or a few of them flip, and Republicans win. And that's been the status quo now for several cycles in a row. if we get that to 55-45, that's a 3-point net swing, right? From 52 to 55. That's a 10-point buffer. That 10-point buffer means it's outside the margin of stealing the election. It's outside the margin of people staying home. And it is a lot easier, obviously, for not just Biden, but the ticket to win. And I just want to remind everybody, we got the House, we got governorships, we got state legislatures, and we have critical Senate races in battleground states, including Texas and Florida, that should not be competitive, but seem to be in the early going competitive because it's the two least popular Republicans in their caucus, Cruz and Rick Scott, who's like Lex Luthor. So they're like the two evil villains. One of them is just a jackass everybody hates, and the other one is an evil villain. They're probably the least liked Republicans in their caucus. Maybe Rand Paul in there too. So two of the three least liked. You cannot overstate just how big the money deficit is. In this last reporting quarter, the numbers have just come in. The Biden campaign has around $70 million in the bank. Trump's campaign has about $30 million in the bank. So Biden's got twice as much. If you throw in the DNC, the RNC, and the super PACs, Team Biden has about $180 million. Team Trump has about $60 million. So it's a 3-to-1 cash advantage. Trump's super PAC raised only about $4 million last month. They spent $6 million in lawyer fees. And now you have this Republican National Committee takeover by Lara Trump, nepotism hire. And the Trumps defeated a motion by the RNC to block the Trump campaign from paying its legal fees using RNC money. There was an attempt by some of the committee members to say, you'll use the money to win elections. And it was defeated by the Trumps. So clearly they're going to use the money to pay Trump's legal fees. And who knows, maybe other stuff. Maybe they'll pay the bonds. And so it's a situation that doesn't seem to be reversing itself. Their small dollar funding, even for Trump, has cratered. They're not raising their base for whatever reason. I think they've been milked dry. This is not the most lucrative base to begin with, and they've been just bled dry with all the scams, and I don't think they have money left. Biden is cruising. For all the talk about he's too old, nobody likes him, this and that, his small dollar fundraising is kicking butt. Big dollar donors don't want to donate to Trump, right? A lot of them were donating to Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley. And a lot of those Haley donors are actually shifting over to Biden. It's actually crazy. It's traditional Republican donors.
Right.
And so they're having a hard time. So you saw Donald Trump wooing Elon Musk, hoping that Musk can write the big check. And
right.
Probably will. I mean, what are the odds? But I think they're pretty good. But big dollar donors don't want to, because they don't want to pay Trump's legal fees. And two, I think they realize that he is an absolute danger to our democracy, and they're willing to put up with Biden, who really was inoffensive, and stock market is at record heights. If you're a rich person, what exactly has Biden done to hurt you? Like, there's really not much. And that can be an indictment for some progressives, right? But there hasn't been much in the way. Now, of course, there's a surcharge he promised at the State of the Union address for next term. But if you're a billionaire, you can freaking afford it. That's not the worst thing that can happen to them. Their daughter's not being able, or granddaughter's not being able to have an abortion. Maybe that means more. Maybe. Do they really want to ship somebody out to Canada or Illinois or California or New York? I don't know. So it's a challenge. So the way it manifests, because the dollar seems very abstract, Biden this week opened up 80 regional campaign centers in the battleground states. So there's already boots on the ground getting out the vote. And he launched a $30 million campaign, including a big Spanish language ad buy in Arizona. So right now it's early on. They're doing the campaign work. What's the Trump campaign doing? They're paying Trump's legal fees. Like, literally, there is no Trump campaign other than his stupid rallies, bizarre, weird rallies. And even earned media. It's not like Fox News is covering them anymore. They're not the thing that they weren't the free media that they were back in 2016 and 2020. So it's rough. I would not want to be Donald Trump. Never. I never wanted to be Donald Trump, but especially now.
And now that you mention it, another reason people aren't going to give him money, who may have it or may be in corporate America, I mean, let's face it, all those guys fudged their numbers a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you've gotten by doing that as a business person and not been investigated or audited, you're good. So think about this. If I'm somebody who's gotten away with some stuff, maybe not major, but I fudged some numbers enough to get looked at, but I haven't been looked at. Mm-hmm. Why would I give Donald Trump some of my money to then be put on the radar? Because whoever gives him money, then that's going to trigger the authorities say, oh, maybe we ought to see what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? That's really the bottom line. And I'm sure all those corporate attorneys saying, whatever you do, nobody's bothering you. Let sleeping dogs lie. Do not give him $1. Because the last time I heard, you can get into, well, Chris James did is one thing. But we know the SEC is undefeated. The FCC comes for you. It's a wrap. They've not never lost a case in the history of humankind. So I don't think that they're even incentivized to even put, because like people say in the street, the heat's on you. I don't want the heat on me. There's no heat on me right now, so I'm good. And I think, too, like you said, the wells probably run dry, especially, again, and this goes back to my earlier point, people idolizing lifestyles of the rich and famous. When they realize you're really not that rich and famous, and now you want some of my money, and I'm broke. I'm no poor person, can't even afford dental care watching Fox News. Mm-hmm. And holding my breath taking Obamacare, which I didn't want, but I have no choice but to take it, right?
Yeah.
And then you want $5, $10, $15 from me to pay your legal bills, to pay for places that I could never own and could never even, was never even welcome to visit. Mm-hmm. That's insane. I think he probably overestimates the cult, because a cult has to have something to follow. Cult, you got to give the cult something that creates whatever the aura is. And when they start, when the authorities move into Mar-a-Lago or move into Trump Tower, and Tish is rough, man. She's saying she looks at 40 Wall Street every day.
Yeah.
So all these things got to go. But so now, so here's another issue, though, which I think may be, some are saying may be problematic in terms of the Senate. Maryland. Hogan, we hate Mitch McConnell, but another reason to hate him is encouraging Hogan to run, who actually is popular and who actually did get a lot of Democratic votes. That's a problem for us, isn't it?
I would guess, I haven't seen any early polling, so I don't know if he's getting any traction. Generally speaking, when you have a one state, one party state, usually the opposite party can get elected locally as a check of the, so in Massachusetts, it's had a long history of lots of Republican governors. California had Arnold Schwarzenegger. New Jersey has had a bunch of Republicans as well as governors, almost one in 2021. And on the other side, you have states like Kentucky and Louisiana that have had regular Democratic governors, including Andy Beshear right now in Kentucky, who just won re-election last year, or 2022. No, last year, yeah. So when those candidates try to run national, they all bomb. So voters are smart enough to go, okay, I'm happy with this Republican or Democratic governor to put a check on my legislature, which is dominated by the other party. But no, I don't want them to be part of either Mitch McConnell or Nancy Pelosi in Washington, D.C. So I don't think it should be a problem. I would be shocked if it was. And hopefully I don't have to eat my words, but as of now, I'm not over it. Have you seen any polling? Is there something I should be concerned about?
I have not seen any. I think, to use a word we often use, I think it's just vibes.
Yeah.
18 hours ago, there was a poll that the Washington Post poll has Larry Hogan in the lead. But now that
what are the numbers?
Let me pull it up. Now that you mention it, though.
Keep in mind that nobody knows who the Democrats are, and Larry Hogan has universal name ID. What number is it?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's got the name recognition. That's what it is. Where is it? They never make put these things up front. Let me pull it up a little bit further. While I'm doing that, as you mentioned, Massachusetts, too. I don't know. And of course, the Washington Post has a paywall. I can't see. But since you mentioned it, I have to go back and wonder. You've had Republican governors and Republican governors in Massachusetts and Maryland. But when was the last time you had Republican senators in either state? I think you make a good point. That's different.
Yeah, it was Scott Brown in Massachusetts, and that was an anomaly. That was a weird post 9/11. All right, so actually, he's looking decent. It's 49-37.
Yeah,
Hogan,
yeah.
49-37. But it's all name ID. Nobody knows Democrats. And the argument's going to be, it's a very easy argument if I'm the Democrats. It's he'll be part of Donald Trump's party, and in Maryland, that he ain't going to fly.
Yeah.
So is he pro-choice or is he?
I don't remember.
So those things are all going to come into play.
So also in the poll I'm looking, it says 55% said they want Democrats in Maryland. We want Democrats to control the Senate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you educate people about what's at stake, I don't know what Larry Hogan's piece is on Roe, to be honest.
Let's see. Okay, Hogan personally opposes abortion, but he would not alter existing rights. We've heard that one before.
Yeah, yeah, we know.
I probably call it right now. He's going to lose by over 10 points.
We have a projection.
We've seen this before, and I say this because we've seen it on the Democratic side, where there's a Democrat running strong in Oklahoma, and everybody gets excited, and the Democrat's at 49 and then loses by double digits. It's, first of all, he's at 49. He's not even at 50. In a one-party state, all the undecided will go towards the party of that state. All of it. Always. Mm. So if this is 49-37 right now, it would be 51-49. But I don't even think it's going to be 51-49 Democrats, because I think once people realize that Hogan is anti-abortion and that he is... I would bet you right now, Mark, that if polled, and I scanned it, I didn't see that question, that half of Maryland would not know that Hogan's a Republican.
Interesting. The other on the ground dynamic is there's some infighting amongst Democrats. Apparently, Trone is a millionaire, and Angela also Brooks is a woman. There's some chauvinism going on, and some members of Congress have endorsed Trone versus Angela. Mm-hmm. Angela is the PG County executive, which is, you know, a pretty sizable number in Maryland. But people have endorsed Trone, and that's caused some infighting amongst Democrats. But if we're looking at the Roe piece, then you definitely nominate the sister, and she runs on that.
Yeah.
She runs on that, and then your tip
they both
points,
poll,
I think it's very real.
They both pull the same. So that also tells me it's a name ID situation.
Yeah.
Because when people know who they are, they may have different opinions, but they both run the same. So it's not like one of them gives you a better advantage than the other.
Yeah.
So it's, I would bet you, particularly with the 55-35. So by a 20-point margin, Democrats want, or Marylanders want Democrats to control the Senate. And it's going to be a 50-50. So you got the Roe argument. You got the control of Senate argument. You got Hogan is Trump's party argument.
Right.
And then you got the Hogan, by the way, is a Republican argument. I wouldn't be shocked if it ended up being like 20 points. And I've seen this so many times. We've had so many great candidates run in red states, and we think that the early polling looks like this, and all the undecideds always go to the party, the dominant party. I wouldn't sweat this one too much.
Okay, well, that's a relief.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 support your cardiovascular health. Visit radiobeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
back to the president.
That's why.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why Texas and Florida are so tough. Because even if Rick Scott and Ted Cruz are like at 48%, usually the undecided, so those are pretty red states, will go red. So that's what, that's the challenge in these kind of states that are pretty heavily dominated by one party.
Jasmine Crockett said on Joy Reid last night from Texas, Representative Congresswoman Crockett says, y'all, Texas is actually blue. We just don't turn out to vote. That's what she said. She went on the record saying that.
Yeah.
And she was saying that in reference to Ted Cruz, because Joy asked her about Ted, and she's, yeah, and Colin Allred, she said, yeah, he could win because Texas is blue if Texans would just vote. And so that's
Texas lit are the lowest performing voters of any demographic in any state in the entire country. 20%. It's brutal.
What is that about?
There's under investment in those communities. It's the fact that it's still a heavily immigrant adjacent community, and in their countries, if you participate in politics, you get murdered.
Yeah.
And they're being targeted by Texas Republicans. And it's, if we keep our heads down and don't make any noise, they'll leave us alone. The second they fear us as an electoral block, then they're going to come after our communities and they're going to make our lives, which already suck, even worse.
Even worse. Wow.
Yeah. It's different than the black experience, but in a lot of ways, there's a lot of parallels there.
Intimidation.
Yeah.
And as you said, some of them coming from where they come from, it's fresh in their mind, the whole notion of intimidation. Okay, back to the November ballot, the presidential ballot. Doesn't look like no labels. I don't think no labels is going to do anything. I think, you know, those are some people playing in the sandbox, so good.
Yeah.
What about RFK, though? Is RFK, do you think he's a real threat? Knowing how close this is going to be, is he a problem?
I don't think so. I've been scarily unconcerned. And every once in a while, I have to catch myself like, am I wearing blinders?
Yeah.
So I have to really, a couple of things is that third party candidates never do as well as they poll. It's just with polling, you have a margin of error of up to 5 points by definition, right? Like plus minus 3 to 5 points. Yeah. You get one respondent in the poll and suddenly, boom, you're at 3. In real life, that doesn't work that way. So third party candidates never poll as well. And the data that I have seen had been pretty clear that RFK takes more from Trump than he does from Biden. I mean, he's wackadoo. He's just QAnon adjacent craziness.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have a lot of purchase in the Democratic Party. So then what's left? It's his name. His family is being very aggressive in getting the word out that they support Biden. I don't know if you saw, they just had 80 of them take a picture with literally like 80 of them.
Yeah,
take
I saw
a picture. And RFK's like response was like, it wasn't the whole family.
I don't think JFK has, there was a picture of JFK with 80 family members when he was in the White House. I don't.
And so it's like, it wasn't the whole family. Wait, there's more?
Oh yeah, there's a whole lot of them. Family. Yeah, there's a whole lot of them. Yep, there's a whole lot of them people.
And
I've seen them. I've been around a whole lot of them people.
RFK's been through like 5 campaign managers. It doesn't seem to be somebody that is manageable. So I think he's going to be doing his own crazy thing, talking about vaccines. And it's just not a lot of, there's just not a constituency amongst Democrats. And he's pro-Putin. So maybe there's the tanky left, the people who think America is wrong on everything. But that's also a small constituency. So I just, and these are people that generally don't vote anyway. So even if he turns some of them out, they would be people who otherwise might not vote. So that doesn't make him really relevant in the results. I just haven't seen any evidence that he pulls from Biden's base. That's the piece that I would be scared of. Like actual Biden voters. And I have not seen that.
So I'm going to ask you advice. I know Robert. We know each other pretty well. I've not asked him to come on the show. Should I?
I think the less attention he gets, the better.
Okay. That's what I thought. And that's what
I'm not going to tell you what to do, though.
That's what, because I think some people would be upset if I gave him a platform. But then I'm going to ask him the questions. And I think I can, because we do know each other. Like, Robert, what's up? What are you? That's the approach I would take. What are you doing? What is it that you, how, what? Exactly.
He's very Trumpy in that he's very, it would be victim. And not to relitigate Trump, but you mentioned that, how he's a martyr. Martyrs die. That's the whole point of the martyr. It's not an attractive archetype. I don't think anybody's loving hearing him just complain and whine. And that's sort of the big difference. It used to be, not to me funny, but to conservatives funny, that mean being cruel to people funny. And now he's just whiny. He just cries up there. He's just crying about all his grievances. And I don't think anybody's really into that. So I think his mojo's gone. I think the press isn't giving him the kind of coverage that he's used to. It's negative. The legal troubles, the money troubles, he can't get endorsements. The Mike Pence non-endorsement is a huge story. It very underreported, actually. Can you imagine if Kamala Harris did not endorse Joe Biden? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It'd be the whole rest of the election would be stories on that. 10 stories in the New York Times every day.
Yeah.
About Biden's troubles because Kamala Harris, he lives in a different universe, but even in that different universe, I don't see any good news. It's rough out there. I think RFK has that energy, but he doesn't have his cult. He's not king out of billionaire. Like he doesn't even have that. He doesn't have a TV show to pander off because RFK brings some of that same Donald Trump energy. Elon Musk too. Like they all have that same aggrieved narcissist. Everybody's out to get us.
Right.
Yeah, they have exalted positions in society. And so shut the hell up.
I don't know what happened, Tim. Robert was a good guy. And then the pandemic.
I mean, he was on Air America. He had he was an environmentalist. He was fighting a good fight.
Something happened during the pandemic and things began to change. Even a little bit before that, he was moving in the anti-vax direction.
He was already in. Yeah.
That was the first sign. But then the pandemic just took him over. And it's troubling.
Yeah.
So
he's anti-abortion. If he gets any traction, we can just start hitting him on abortion.
Wow.
He's weirdly anti-abortion. I have an acquaintance who fell down the RFK hole. She fell into QAnon first, and then from QAnon hopped onto RFK. And she's a woman. She's always been incredibly pro-choice. And I sent her what are you saying about abortion? Because he wanted 15 weeks. And then it was like 13 or 15. That was the argument. And his advisors in the background were like, he was still in the Democratic primary. His advisors were trying to get him to shut up. And I sent her that. And it was amazing the logic pretzel that she had to wrap herself up to not let go of her like worship of RFK and reconciling that with her strong beliefs on abortion rights. Right. But once you fall into these cults, you fall. But RFK just does not have the appeal of the Trump.
No, he doesn't. And it's conflicting because he's still RFK. So it's a conflict. Like this is you using your dad's commercial. You cannot. Now let's talk about a martyr. Okay, let's talk about real martyrs. JFK, RFK, MLK within months from each other, 2 months, April to June. That's a martyr. And so it's confusing. To the uninformed, you might say, oh, this is a Kennedy. But then when you realize, wait a minute, he's not really a Kennedy in the tradition of his family and his father. So it's just a lot of, it's almost a very blasphemous sort of confusion, almost intentionally to confuse people. And he's not his uncle. When Ted ran against Carter, that was something. That was a mess. And probably helped to cost Carter. But
absolutely.
But this is not the same thing.
And he doesn't get a lot of attention. There's no media coverage. He gets more coverage when people worry about him than when he actually does anything worth doing. So I think the more he's ignored, the better.
Okay. So one more thing, and I'm going to tell you the rabbit hole I've gone down.
Okay.
Get your advice and counsel on that. We have, this is somewhat breaking, speaking of, and we know this is something else. If this can be resolved, I think it helps us a lot. Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, has submitted a draft resolution. I was at the UN just the other day, went to the Security Council, ladies and gentlemen, and the moment I walked in the door, they were like, nope, out. I'm like, I just got here. So no, we know what you're going to do. So I didn't even get in the door. They let me take a pitch in and put me out. But Blinken has submitted a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire. Mind you, every resolution for ceasefire, the U.S. has vetoed. at the Security Council and the General Assembly. He has submitted a draft resolution to the Security Council calling for an immediate ceasefire tied to the release of hostages held by Hamas. Obviously, the White House is reading the political winds, because if there is one issue that many progressives and Arab American voters are holding out over, it is that issue. We've seen more vocal, even Chuck Schumer has called out Netanyahu. This is, as we know, Kamala Harris spoke about it in Selma. So this is the first time that this administration is going to get behind a ceasefire resolution of any kind. Not everything. The other resolutions that they vetoed have been total and complete ceasefires, but this is an immediate one tied to hostage release. We haven't seen the language. You know, I think, Marcos, if the White House can get out of that situation, that gives us a lot more hope that those uncommitted voters will vote in November and not hand it over to Trump.
Yeah, I don't think all the uncommitted votes are Gaza votes. A lot of different interest groups are trying to organize. And then it historically, 10% vote uncommitted no matter what. So it's just slightly above historical norms.
Okay.
But we don't want this issue. It's going to be a big distraction at the convention in Chicago. But I think the bigger story here is that it's clear that Netanyahu, at this point, actively campaigning to get Donald Trump elected back into the presidency. And that was always the problem with Biden giving Israel cover in the early days. I don't know how much leverage the U.S. actually has. Israel's going to do what Israel, they feel an existential threat to their existence. And it's real. They lashed out in his temper tantrum. And so there is ways to react to the terror attack. And clearly they've crossed that line a while ago. And I wonder if the U.S. could have had leverage in that war cabinet to have somebody else that wasn't Bibi in charge of it. I mean, Bibi got them. It was because of Bibi that terror attack happened in the first place. He opened up the gate, basically, funded Hamas. Bibi was always going to be the problem. And he is a problem. And very much a pox on both houses kind of person. So I don't think either side is serious about peace. And until that happens, it's going to be difficult. But Bibi actively, it was clear that Bibi was going to try to undermine Biden to give Donald Trump a leg up. And so just from a basic domestic political calculation, I wonder if things could have been handled differently in a way that didn't empower Bibi and didn't put Biden in this situation. But ultimately, Bibi's overplayed his hand. And without the cover of the U.S., that removes the cover from Australia and from a lot of Europe. And what's left? They are a pariah state. Do they really want to be North Korea?
Yeah.
And that's where they're headed. I wish Israelis would handle that issue. It does not serve them to have partisanized their security situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would really behoove them to oust Bibi from that war cabinet. And I think right now I saw that just poll-wise, like he wouldn't survive an election.
No.
And it wouldn't even be close.
And the war postpones an election. So that's why he's got to keep it going.
Yeah, the incentives right now are perverse. And Bibi's like Trump. He's got an indictment hanging over his head. And as soon as he's out of office, he may be going to jail. So there's all the incentives are wrong right now.
Right.
And that's a fundamental problem. And Israel really needs to get a handle on their own shit.
No, I agree. You're absolutely right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
All right, lastly, the rabbit hole I'm down, I confess. Where is Kate, Princess Kate?
Oh, no.
I am all down the rabbit. And I don't necessarily have a conspiracy theory, but I cannot stop following it. It is.
Weird.
I am pulled all the way in. See, I watched The Crown. I'm a fan of The Crown. And the whole palace intrigue, I'm gone, man. And I don't feel unwell. Let me just say this. I'm not feeling sorry for myself, y'all. It's really interesting what's going on over there and what we don't know. I'm still on how the king goes in for prostate treatment and comes out with cancer. We don't know what that cancer is. And you just got there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know those people over there don't play. MI6 serious. So I don't know. But I'm all in, man. I'm checking constantly for an update. I don't.
She's literally missing, isn't she?
To be real, nobody, and they're not even trying to release any kind of real photographs. So no, she's okay. And now the video that TMZ released the other day, TMZ is doing a primetime special on Fox Network tonight. Where is Kate? Because now they no longer believe the video that was sent to them is her. So, yeah. What?
Yeah.
And maybe honestly, sometimes folks, these things can be a respite from the other things.
I was going to say, that it's a nice little distraction more from stressful. The heaviness of reality.
Yeah, more stressful. Does it really matter that she's missing? They don't really have any power. I don't mean to be cruel. You don't want a human being to go missing, but still, remember when CNN did a whole like a year and a half, they were stuck on the missing plane?
Yeah.
And that was the last time they had any ratings, by the way. And so this is it. If I was running a network, it would be like the plane. Where is Kate? Where is Kate Middleton? So yeah, I'm all in, man.
It's funny.
So I'm so funny. You know, pray for me. Send me thoughts and prayers, y'all. Take, you know, because I was up late into the night last night, going through Twitter and going through and analyzing the video. She's too tall. The woman in the video is much taller. People have broken it down, man. Oh my God, she is taller than Kate normally would be. Did she get height surgery during the what was the abdominal surgery? What was it? And so I'm gone. Pretty gone.
There was a really funny viral tweet that was something along the lines of the crown princess is missing, the king is fighting illness with herbal medicines. Back in the old day, this would have been the time for France to attack.
In old Europe, that's right. Invade, do an invasion. Do an invasion. Indeed, indeed. Marcos, Melissa's folks, always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
It's a pleasure. Talk to you next week. Thanks.
DailyCoast.com, everybody.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.